Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I am so excited. A lot of you know my guest today. She has been a frontline warrior. She is an attorney for Donald Trump. She is out there speaking her mind, fearlessly fighting for our country. She has a new book out, Stealing Your Vote. I'm honored to have on Christina Bobb. How you doing?
Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. You are like this America's sweetheart type that everyone looks at you and thinks like, there's this brilliant lawyer who like is fighting for the country and works for Trump. And they don't know your background because you have an amazing background. And I wanted people to know like how much, not just are you fighting for our country now, but it's been a long time.
It has been a long time. I've made a career out of government service. I guess I tried to get to the private sector for a little bit and did that for a few years and just realized, I love this country very much and had to come back to it.
So where is your background? When did this start that you felt you wanted to serve our nation and you made the moves to do so?
Yeah, well, after law school, I joined the United States Marine Corps, and I served one tour is about 4 years. I deployed to Afghanistan. I was based in Quantico, Virginia, and then I moved back to San Diego, practiced law there for a little while. Loved the firm that I was at, but just missed the excitement of the national security aspect of, you know, what I did before. So I went back into the Marine Corps. I mobilized in the Marine Corps back to Germany, served in Germany for about a year and a half, and then joined the Trump administration and was working at the Department of Homeland Security and then ended up at One America News. I didn't mean to jump around so much, but it kind of, you know, opportunities arose and
you.
I took them.
That's what I said. Like the reason you jump around so much is because first people look at you, you're this great lawyer, you're really articulate, you're doing that. And then they're like, what? This girl has a past, like... She really knows what she's talking about. You know, we have so much media that's basically actors at this point, or, you know, this whole technocracy that's totally fraudulent because they have degrees from these. I call it now the Poison Ivy League, even though
that's good. I like that.
But, you know, they go on TV and they speak, and because they have this degree or something, they have no experience. They've never been in the field. They really don't know anyone that they're talking to in the sense of knowing America. And then you have voices like yours where it's not just, you know, I'm giving you talking points from the Council of Foreign Relations. You're actually telling us the truth. And that has made you, I think, somebody people really look to for answers. And that's a great position to be in. Now, first and foremost, when were you first approached by Donald Trump to work in his administration?
I started working for, in the administration. I didn't know President Trump in the administration at all. I didn't get to know the president until after I was out, believe it or not. That's kind of funny. Yeah. So I came through, you know, the normal application routes. You get to know somebody in the administration. They recommend you. I did the normal thing, and I never met the president, and I was at the Department of Homeland Security the entire time. And then I left and went to One America News. And it's funny, I even though I worked for him, I didn't get to know the president until after I left and was at One America News. And he started following my reporting. And then you know, he'd call and be like, can you give me any more information? You know, what else do you know? And so he was just, you know, looking for information as he's known to do. Yeah. And then a year or so later, he asked me to join his team and I was thrilled.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, it's funny. People don't really, unless they know or they hear a story from you, they don't realize how normal he is, that he does
He's
pick up
so
the phone.
Normal.
Does do things like that.
It's amazing. I mean, the first time I got a call from him, I was blown away, and he was just so normal. Like, obviously he knew that I knew who he was and was like, hey, Christina, it's President Trump. And I'm just like, what? You know, it was fun. It was pretty cool. So he's extraordinarily normal. And it's funny because I do think he gets surprised when people are surprised that he's so normal.
Yeah.
It's funny.
My parents are in Palm Beach. So I worked in Mar-a-Lago as a kid, and I just always thought, and then when I saw him come down the escalator, just watching him over those years, I said, oh, he's going to win. He's not running if he doesn't think he's going to win. And I'm sure he'll be there next time. Now I want to get into your book in a second, but you were in Homeland Security. I guess that was Nielsen was running it at the time. Mm-hmm. And you guys were very, very much attacked at the border, where now in retrospect, you're doing the right thing on every level, especially for the children coming through and the wall and all of that. Now, looking back to your time there, did you feel that Did you immediately know when they came in and they started lifting all these, everything that you guys were doing that was working at the border, that this border infestation, whatever's going on now, which is chaos, did you see it in real time and think, oh my God, we are going to, our country's in serious danger?
Yeah, my initial reaction when I saw him on Joe Biden on day one, when he lifted all of the immigration policies that President Trump had put in place, not just the policies, but the procedures.
Right.
I just knew, I said, they are intentionally trying to destroy this nation. I said, the only reason you would make those moves and change, make the changes that we made is because you're intentionally trying to ruin this country. And I think every day that he's been in office, that his administration has proved that that is their intent.
Yeah, I agree. It's a controlled demolition of America. What I honestly believe at this point, and I think I, when people ask me about Trump, I always say, like, well, I think he didn't know how bad it was either. Like, because you go in there and you only know what you know. And then, you know, it appears to me, like, from the outside in, where we have a uniparty, in my opinion, and we have, like, this oligarchy of billionaires and trillionaires and globalists, that Donald Trump is a real problem for them. Yeah. And I always say to people, the battle he's fighting isn't against, you know, his critics in America. It is a globalist. We don't want America's Constitution, Bill of Rights, sovereignty, all the things that make America great to exist anymore. And Donald Trump is in the way. And that's how you're I kind of look at the battle. Yeah, go ahead.
You're exactly right. I mean, I echo everything you're saying, President. And he himself has said, they're not after me, they're after you. I'm just in the way. And he's right. We know he's right. They know he's right. And they are trying to take down America because they can't enslave the world if America exists. Exactly. So they're trying to take us down. They've done a really good job of damaging us. I mean, they've hit us really hard with some really nasty hits, whether it's the border, it's inflation, indoctrinating our kids. You know, you pick a topic and name it, and they've done a really good job of destroying it. So we've got some work to do, but I do believe America will be saved. We will make America great again. But
I do too. I do too. I don't think anything can stop the American spirit. It's in our DNA in this nation. Yeah. I believe that had Donald Trump, and we'll get into 2020 in a second, had Donald Trump had his rightful second, he will have his second 4 years, but had he had it in the time, I think we would have brought back manufacturing. I think we would have had the supply chain stuff. And that's really key right now, is rebuilding our local communities, rebuilding America from the inside out. While they're trying to, I call it the controlled demolition of America from the inside out, from the inside.
Yeah. That's a great way to describe it.
I mean, it is. There's just every move that's being made. But again, I don't think that, I think the vassal state of the District of Columbia has been usurped by these billionaire trillionaires aligned with the multinational corporations and the bankers. And they have decided that they are done with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and freedom and sovereignty. Yeah. And not just of our nation, of multiple nations at one
time. Of every nation.
Yeah.
We are the last nation. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's the arrogance, though, of these people. And they're so arrogant and out there. And the good news is, because of people like you and Bannon and voices out there pointing at them, you see them. And it's kind of like we're at a point where it's people are waking up en masse, which is a good time for your book to come out. Because according to a lot of people, they say that 2020 was debunked, you know, all these fake fact checkers and stuff. But you put together a great book here. I think it's really succinct. And it's the best part is it's... anyone could read it. You could read your book and be in sixth grade. You could be 80. You could be, you know, PhD.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that, because that was my goal. Because, you know, elections can be a dry subject.
Right.
And it can be hard to read. And so I was like, I've got to make this very readable. So that was my goal. So thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, that's the best part. First of all, it's very readable, which is great. And you're not going to stop reading. But so talk a little bit about that. You came up with, here's the talking points that, you know, in the good sense of talking points, because we need people to read your book and then to share the information with their friends and family that are open to it. Because every day that goes by in this controlled chaos, more and more people are at least curious as to what is going on in our country. So what are the key things that you focused on in the book that people should be reexamining right now?
Well, I wrote the book. The book really is my notes from my investigation as a journalist. I was just keeping notes as I was going to all of these states and doing all of these interviews. And Actually, after I put the book together, my editor had to like restructure it. She's like, Christina, it's all out of order. And I go, what do you mean it's out of order? Because I wrote it in like as it was
went.
happening.
Right.
She's like, no, but that's not the way people are going to think about it. So we had to redo it so that it would make sense to people who didn't actually live it.
Right.
But it's just my notes of my investigation. I mean, I talked to hundreds and hundreds of people on the ground in Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. I mean, I spent 2021 out there,
right.
You know, like out of my house. I think I averaged the last 6 months that I was at OAN, One American News, I averaged 5 days a month at home.
Oh,
I was
wow.
on the road all the time, just talking to people, interviewing people, trying to figure out what happened. So the book is you follow me, you know, on my journey. Like, it's written in first person. And my goal is that you kind of step into my shoes
yeah.
and discover the information the same way that I did. I've got my reports out there. You know, hopefully some of the viewers are familiar with some of the reports that I did.
Oh,
but
sure.
you, as you know, you know,
yeah.
doing podcasts, you never have enough time to actually explain everything you're trying to explain.
Of course.
And so I just wanted to put it in a type of media that I could explain everything I wanted to explain and people could digest it at their own pace. So anyway, so that's how the book came about.
Well, what along the way, I'm sure there were many times where you were outraged and shocked. What along the way I can't even imagine. What was like the, when you look back at this, what was the one thing that you just, or if there was one, or if there was a couple that you just were like, how could this happen in America? And people are just continuing on as if nothing happened. Like,
yeah, it was the Republicans. I was shocked at the Republicans' reaction to very obvious criminal activity. The way I phrase it is Democrats cheated and Republicans covered it up. The cover up to me just shocked me. And it was infuriating because there were very clear problems that have to be resolved in our country, no matter who gets elected, whether
right.
you want Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Just as a good American, we need to have clean elections. And the extent that Republicans were going to cover it up just astonished me. And I write about that in every single state.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I went around the country a lot, too, with different candidates, America First candidates, speaking at their rallies and events, big and small, all over the nation. I felt the same way. I was so shocked. I could not. First of all, it's rigged before the primary. So, you know, you're going around there with a lot of people that are really great candidates that really want to save America. They've come from like had good businesses thriving in their local community or they, you know, they just want to serve the nation in the best way possible as our founders intended. And then you start down this course of running for office.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, the amount of money it costs to raise and run is insane. Then if the RNC doesn't back you, which now we know it's because they're a uniparty and they don't want anyone new. I feel like they want the status quo as long as they can get it because they don't want, like you said, I think there's a lot of cover-ups. And if one or two rogue people start looking into some of the past of these people, that's something they don't want. And then on top of that, it just seems like they the Republicans were much more vicious in terms of even what they were putting in the press or the PR or like making these people jump through hoops. And all I kept thinking was, A, not only do we have a uniparty, but what is, I mean, are these people blackmailed? Are they insider trading? I mean, like, these are the worst people.
Yeah.
And the good of the nation and having some new ideas. Look, their stuff's not working. We need some new brains and some new energy and some new ideas in politics.
Yeah.
You would think they'd want that, and they don't.
You would think they would. And I think the cancer in the Republican Party is go along to get along, maintain the status quo. If we maintain the status quo, we get to be the elitist political class. And so, I saw this down at the lowest level. I mean, county supervisor level that we're willing to, I mean, look at Maricopa County in Arizona with Carrie Lake's race right now. And a lot of what they're doing, it appears anyway to me that they're doing it for the sole purpose of keeping their seat. You know, maybe they're corrupt, maybe they're blackmailed. I'm sure that happens somewhere in the United States. I don't have any empirical evidence of myself that I can point to.
It just seems like, why would anyone do? How do you live with yourself?
Well, no, I know, and that's the thing that's crazy about it is genuinely, I think a lot of these people do it because they feel special being part of the political class. That's it. They just want to be county supervisors. They don't care that they're destroying freedom around the world. They just want to be able to say they're an elected official, they're a county supervisor, and everybody has to just keep the status quo.
Right. We gotta go back to when they felt like when the job was like your civic duty and you did it, like, you know, even the founding fathers, they didn't intend for this to ever be like a lifelong, and then all the insider trading and all the favors and the contracts. I mean, it's so gross. Yeah. Isn't it the worst? And you saw it front hand. And then on top of that, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is, so a lot of people are talking about, we know, whatever you think of the pandemic, whatever you want to call it. 6 months before, I talk about on my show a lot because I point a lot at the financial side. I think a lot of what's going on, a lot of what happened to Trump has a lot to do with the central banks and the international, like, monetary, a lot of financial.
Oh, stuff. Yeah. And, I mean, did you see the Project Veritas story that just broke?
Oh, today? The one on Pfizer?
Or on Pfizer, yeah. They're nodding. They're trying to... It's, get people sick so that they can keep doing the vaccines. Yeah. Because if people actually are immune to the virus, then they don't need vaccines. It is so unconscionable.
Yeah, well, also, and both of these, see, this is also the other thing that I try to push home because I talk about the finance. You have to look at the money, follow the money.
Yeah.
Because this is also with Ukraine. We're giving, people don't know that our weapons manufacturers also trade on Wall Street, and we're giving them $700 billion and they're sending it overseas to money laundering. There's just so much chaos right now going on.
Yeah.
And we the people of the United States, I feel like, have to start really being honest about who we are, what we are, and where our money is going.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a big issue.
Yeah, I think you're right. And this is all corruption, all of the chaos and the misinformation and the disinformation and, you know, all of the games that are being played right now. It's all around money. It's all around corruption. And Joe Biden, quite frankly, is at the center of it. I mean, he has got the most dirty hands of anybody playing the games right now. And I think Joe Biden has some real criminal liability.
The sad part is I believe that he has 40 years at least, and that they know that. And that I think that's why they picked him, because he was not winning. And then he went into some meeting. I chronicled this because this is also, I was going to say about the pandemic, but he went into some meeting with Larry Fink at BlackRock and a bunch of people. He was like 0.1 in the polls. Within 2 weeks, they're all dropping out and he's number one in the polls. And you're thinking, okay, so there was some kind of agreement. Listen, you know, we've all been around, you know, since JFK, it's just been one cover up after the next. So I watched him become the front runner. And I thought, that's how you can, because a lot of this is a lot of people don't know, you know, my audience knows, but there's a senior executive service. And a lot of those people have been in there the whole time. And there's the intelligence people and the think tanks. Yep. And they really have so much power. And I believe they picked him. And at the end of the day, we had the pandemic, and then they changed all these laws. I mean, it's totally ludicrous. They should all just be reversed, anything that was put in during COVID. But now, I mean, for voting. And now they want to keep them all, and that HR1 is the end of America. So they're pushing
that
again.
Thank God it didn't pass. Yeah.
It's so bad. But I mean, it's just, I can't even understand. These aren't Democrats. These are the communists. They're socialist Democrats of America. Yeah. Actually, the Nazis were also socialists. So, you know, put two and two together. But the one thing is that, so they've changed all these laws, and I keep hearing from good patriotic America, America First people, MAGA people, well, you know, we're going to do it clean, we're going to do it this way. But if they changed all the laws and we can't change back the laws, at least
then
until
we need to play the game of the board that we're on.
Right.
You know, this is the board we're standing on. This is the game we got to play.
Right. So we have to talk about that a little, because people are being like, no, we're better. It's like you're saying about the Republicans.
We're going to take the moral high ground and lose again.
Yes.
People can say that, but like, that's not the way Donald Trump feels. I can tell you that. I mean, Donald Trump is a winner. He knows how to win. Nobody will run a better campaign than Donald Trump. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you have. All other campaigns will pale in comparison to Donald Trump. So I'm thrilled to be on it. I'm excited to be a part of it, because I think it's just going to be so much fun. And I think it's going to be really patriotic and people are going to love it. But we recognize, you know, this is the cards we've been dealt. You know, the saying I use is the board we're on, that's the game you have to play.
Right.
So we'll play it. We'll play it to the best of our ability, and we'll do everything we can, and we'll try to get laws passed that we can get laws passed, and those that we can't, you know, we'll try to work on it operationally. But we have to realize that at least for the short term, at least for the next one or two election cycles, we have mail-in ballots. We have drop boxes.
Right.
We have early voting. You know, we have all of the things that we don't like, but we have them. So we have to deal with it.
Right. And I'm so glad you're saying that. It's important because you are on the campaign. I heard Cash say it too. The truth, there is no, we have to do the X or this. That's not up to us. This is how it is right now. And we have to be doing that. Another thing I think that's really important, and I want your thoughts on it because you've been all over the nation, is we need to make sure that people are locally putting in the right people. Because, you know, there was all these years where people didn't even care about their local elections, certainly, which is very sad. A lot of people don't care about their primary, which is where they can really make a difference, because after the primary, you get what you get. And I know a lot of, especially both sides, RNC, DNC, try to keep newcomers out at that level.
Yeah.
But once you get into it, you've been all around. Local elections, local action, getting involved in your precincts is key, I think, in helping, because all the things you just mentioned, drop boxes, ballot harvesting, all this stuff is in place. So we need teams all over the country.
You are exactly right. And it's how I end my book, actually. That is how we win, securing the election from the precinct level, because we've been trying for what, 8 years now,
right?
Or 6 years, whatever you want to say, to secure it from the top down, and it's not working. You know, Congress isn't helping us. The senior leadership among the states is mildly helpful. You know, we're not getting a lot of traction in the judiciary, in the courts. So you have to do it at your precinct level. Right. Everybody has to get out and vote. This book is my clarion call to, this is an all hands on deck situation, because we have to secure it at the precinct level, which means we need everybody involved at every precinct. And there are thousands and thousands of precincts all over the country. So that's exactly right. We need a massive, massive amount of people to get involved and secure the elections at their local precinct level.
Yeah. And one other thing that I wanted to ask you, since you're a strategist on this going forward, is I've been looking at a lot of stuff. And here's one thing that's a problem, and I think we have to figure out for this upcoming election. There's about 30% of Americans that don't vote, that don't care, that don't vote, that don't want anything to do with politics. But the stakes for them, and the destruction and possibility of what could happen to America if we don't take this country back from globalist cabal. Everyone's feeling the pain. They might not know it, but it's all coming from this oligarchy elite, in my opinion, that is trying to manipulate this country to destruction. I think we're in a color revolution, by the way, that they're manipulating like they have all over the world. But we got this huge chunk of non-voters that are still being affected by everything that's happening, the fentanyl, the border, the gas, you know, possibility of war, chaos, COVID. Well, how do we get to the voters that think that it's just another election cycle and I really don't care and none of it matters?
Well, I have to give a big thank you to Joe Biden for that, because he's doing a great job of pushing those people our direction. People who haven't paid attention to politics that are now paying $5, $6, sometimes $7 or $8 a gallon at the gas station are now starting to go, why? Like, why does it cost this much? Why is it $10 for a carton of eggs? You know, people are starting to, the economy has gotten so bad, inflation has gotten so bad, and people are hurting so badly that it's causing those people that you're talking about to ask why. So that is helpful to us. And I do not by any means want the situation to get any worse in this nation. But the reality is, it's causing those people to wake up. And I think that President Trump has not just the best message, the only message of a solution. America first. You know, this globalist agenda doesn't work. We have to put our interests first. And as we put our interests first, we will bless the entire world, and we will raise the standard of living for the entire world once we take care of ourselves.
Right. Just like people bring up that thing about the when you're in the plane and the
Air mask. Put your own mask on first and then help others. Yeah.
But that actually is the truth, because if you look back to League of Nations, or the biggest fraud that is the UN, in my opinion, or any of this stuff, it's always about for the greater good of the global. And then you realize that they've been saying that for 47 years, that all these developing nations in South America and in Africa and all the developing nations that we're all pouring money into never developed. up. And this, you know, none of this happens. And I think Donald Trump had a real plan for America first, but to give every country back their sovereignty and freedom, which has a lot to do with unraveling the IMF and the World Bank and all these predator groups. But I agree with you. I think that every country needs a Trump, needs an America first candidate. And we got to get rid of the puppet masters and the puppets that have been put all around in the world to fight them. Because if you look at any nation that was against Donald Trump, they have a placed puppet there. Somebody that you can trace to the globalists or the World Economic Forum, young global leaders or one of these people. And the good thing is people are waking up. They're being exposed. Now, the last thing I want to ask you is for my audience out there. I get tons of emails like, what can I do? What can one person do? What should I be doing? Also, they don't know how to talk to friends and family. People have been so purposefully divided and all of that. So what are some advice that you can give to the audience that they can do in their own lives to empower themselves and to help this country and help Donald Trump?
I would say get involved in your local GOP, either your state or your county GOP, if you have one that's actually established and does good things. If you don't like that organization, some are better than others. So if you don't like yours, look for a grassroots effort in your area. There's a lot of great grassroots efforts that have sprouted up looking into election integrity, you know, training poll workers, all of that. If you don't have a grassroots in your area, see if you can get some friends together and start one, because this is a grassroots movement. So, and if you say, well, okay, so I'm willing to start a grassroots organization, but like about what? What makes you angry? You know, what is the thing? Is it the fact that they have twice as many voters on the voter roll as live in your community? You know, get a grassroots organization together to scrub your voter rolls and to hold your leaders accountable to clean up your voter rolls. Or, you know, are you angry about the chain of custody and the fact that they, you know, stuff ballots in? Get a group of people who are willing to stand, you know, on the chain of custody, literally stand guard and watch everything as it's happening. You know, there's a number of different ways to get involved. I lay out a bunch of examples of great things that people have done in the book to give you some ideas, but every community is different and every community is going to have different needs. So you got to figure out what your community needs. But take the time to figure out what your community needs and then go do it.
Yeah. Now, I think Win Red was a really bad campaign with all the text messages and all of that. And I'm sure you guys are reorganizing going up. But I did feel like as much as the GOP and all of that, I think these grassroots are key. And even my mom's 83. She lives in, or 81. She'll get mad at me. She lives in Palm Beach. And she started in her community. It's a bunch of grandparents started a We the People group. And now they get together with other groups like this Club 45. They have them. So people can do that. And then they can find the other groups in the area and get together. And I think it's super important that people do that. Because we'll see what's happening. So Ronna McDaniel, we got Harmeet Dillon, we got Mike Lindell. There's people that are fired up to turn the tide for the GOP. Yep. So going forward, lots of hope for the RNC and GOP. But I agree with you. There's so much people can do. And look, when we were younger, they had like neighborhood watch or like, you know, community things. We've gotten, because of the internet and all this division, people stopped being a community. And I think people need to also find common ground with their neighbors and start to really just be American again, be America. And I think that's the key too. So tell everyone where they can find your book, where they can find you. You're also, she's also a very successful journalist. She does the Trump rallies live, which is awesome. So everywhere that people can follow you and get your book.
Great, thank you. So it's called Stealing Your Vote. It's available on Amazon. You can find me on social media, Truth and Getter at Christina Bob, or you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Christina_Bob. And I do a lot of the commentary for the Trump rallies.
Yeah, we're there. We watch you for hours, everyone. It's not, and you guys are great and fun, and you really add to the experience of going into it. What are those like for the audience? We want people to get out and go to the rallies. So tell people a little bit about that.
The rallies are incredible. I believe they're historic. We'll be talking about Trump rallies the same way we talk about, you know, civil rights marches. Once we save America, we'll be doing that. So I encourage everybody to get out when you have an opportunity, when they're in your area. They will at some point soon be coming to a town near you. And you'll see me out there if you watch on Brightside Broadcasting. I do the commentary with Brian Glenn, and Brian Glenn's an old pro. I joke with him, you know, he's been doing broadcasting his whole career, and I have never had to do 8 hours live before.
Right.
That's a new learning experience. Thank God Brian is there to carry it. Like I'll add color in and stuff, but I'm like, Brian, you got to carry the show because I will crap out after the first hour.
You know, it's so funny because we, in our house at least, we know that there's a Trump rally coming up, say at 7, or we're in the East Coast at nine if it's on the West Coast. And then we just put on your show and we just let it run till Trump starts.
I think a lot of people feel like
you're there.
Yeah, we're just going. We're going to keep talking. And I hope you guys hear some of it.
Yeah, well, it's awesome. And we will hopefully see you on the road. And thank you so much, Christina, Bob, for everything you're doing for this country. I plan to see you a lot in the future also, because I believe you will be very involved in Trump's next term. And we will win. We will take back America. And like we all say, the best is yet to come. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Hello, Patriot Pals. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about our amazing partner, Mel K Superfoods. A lot of people do the food prep programs that they come in, you know, freeze-dried and all of that. This is not that. This is a full serving of fruits and vegetables and protein. It is a way to maintain a healthy diet no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, no matter what happens in this country, because again, it's very affordable and at the same time, it's very easy to follow, and it is like having a full garden outside your house that you're going and picking fresh fruit and fresh vegetables every single day. You have that same nutrients inside your cupboard. You know, prepare now, be ready. A lot of people do prepping stuff. This is an excellent way to prep to make sure that you and your family always have the essential nutrients that you need to live a healthy, full life out there. Please check out Mel K Superfoods. We're loving the program. We'd love for you to join us. Please get in touch with the show if you're having benefits from the Superfoods program at Mel K Superfoods. We'd love to hear from you. Go to MelKSuperfoods.com and join me in supercharging our wellness journey and living our best, healthiest lives ahead. Guys, I've been warning for months and months about the World Economic Forum and the private Western Central Bank Great Reset. On top of that, the ESG proposed by Larry Fink and BlackRock, which is the CCP social credit score tied to the central bank digital currency, which would end privacy and autonomy for all free people on planet Earth. Just recently at the World Economic Forum, these people got together and decided that not only will they have a central bank digital currency, but that it will be tied to a universal ID that every person on the planet would have to receive. This ID would track and trace everything from your financial life to your health records, to your social justice, to your environmental footprint, to everything that you can imagine, your business, your expenditures, your groceries, everything that you do in life would be monitored, tracked, and traced by these people in Davos, if they can get away with it. I don't believe they can, because we the people and God Almighty have the power. You have to make the moves today. Invest in silver and gold and other hard assets. Get your money into small banks, credit unions, and savings and loans that are local and benefit your local community. And start preparing in your home with supplies and whatever you need going forward. We the people and God Almighty will save this planet. But that means we have to take action steps to walk away from the central bank digital currency and their planned Great Reset. Do that today, please. God bless you and your family, and God bless and save America and all free people on planet Earth. No matter what, God wins, but we need to make the moves now.
Hey, Patriot Pals, Rob Reilly here. One of the most important things Mel and I do in this war between good and evil is traveling the country, meeting fellow patriots like yourselves. We share stories, resources, gain new tools, make new friends, and get activated to take back our freedom for God and country. Go to the MelKShow.com events and come join us. You will have an amazing experience and be reinvigorated to stand for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As always, God wins. See you there.